If you want to follow me here, we're going to bounce around a bit, but just in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about this before, over the last few months, and it's our different gifts, and God has a plan. He just doesn't want to talk about these gifts. He wants us to be involved in these gifts. They're for the church today. That's the Pentecostal church. I believe everything that's written here should happen. And it should happen through your lives. And so, verse 7, it says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom." We talked about that. And then the message of knowledge. "And to another faith, and to the same Spirit another of the gifts of healing." How many people have been healed? God has done some, amazing stuff, really good stuff. See this arm in the air? This arm didn't work very good before I went to California. So actually, I'm thinking I should go to California more often. But it was God in California, the same God that's here, that healed me. So, and then to one by that same Spirit, another miracles and miraculous powers, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing between spirits. And we've been on this for a little while, but it's so important. And so I want you to follow with me. And I want you to think about this, because this is what sets us free, understanding where the spiritual battle comes from. So I just have to bring it up here. They've got it up already there. See, we are given the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can discern, so that we can understand, and then we can act on these things. So I'm going to spend some time on worldview, and this is going to be more maybe teaching than preaching, but we have different worldviews. We have a worldview because of our where we're raised. We have a worldview because of what we're taught. We have a worldview because of the things that we've been immersed in. And then we've kind of combined all that stuff, and we may have even come out with our own kind of blended worldviews. So I'm going to look at three of them today. See, a worldview is the thought system we develop for explaining the world around us and our experiences in it. It is determined almost entirely by the society in which we grow up. So Timothy Warner, that's a pretty good quote, I thought. So actually, I have a worldview when I got married of how a marriage should be. Actually, it wasn't the way a marriage should be, but that's the way I grew up. It was very dysfunctional. And so I actually brought that dysfunction into our marriage. But that was my worldview. You settle things with your fists. You settle things with yelling and screaming and swearing. You settle those kind of things. You ran away when you had to deal with things. You just kind of grew up in that environment, so you just kind of thought that's the way it is. That's not the way it is. Because God, even though before I was a Christian, would come along and show me what is good. Isn't that awesome? He showed me what, and I would say, I want that, I want this, I don't want that, I want this. And I would kind of make a little file in my head, and I had no idea that those were godly things that he was putting in my head. But that was my worldview of marriage. Years ago, when Ireland was in its turmoil, it was a horrible place for death on the streets and bombs and things going off, which is very similar to some countries in our world today and some countries that you are connected with. But they sent over a whole bunch of kids to Toronto from Ireland in the midst of this, where kids could only walk on certain streets, and when they did, there'd be cars that blew up right beside them, and so this terror and this fear was there with them all the time. But when they came to Toronto, in that area, there was nothing. They could go out and walk, and all the cars parked on the street didn't blow up. There wasn't anybody who was machine guns. There wasn't that kind of chaos. And then they interviewed these kids, and they couldn't understand. You see, their worldview was, horror, terror, and destruction and death. And obviously we have a world full of that in a lot of the nations. And we're more aware of it because we have internet and we have television that gets us that stuff right now. You can actually get post-traumatic stress disorder from watching too much CNN. And I say CNN because that's one channel that's very, very dedicated to giving you the facts, but they give them to you for like 14 days in a row, the same facts. And that burns into your mind. And you can actually become vicariously stressed and have to work through that because of the trauma. And especially if you had trauma from before, it adds to that. Canada is a Christian country. Not anymore. And the sad thing is it was based on those principles, but we have a society now that has discarded the Bible in schools, discarded the Bible in a lot of areas, discarded the Lord's Prayer. How many of you, when you went to school, listened to and you had to say the Lord's Prayer? And yeah. I'm not very proud of this, but I was one of the ones that wouldn't do it. I'm your pastor now. I refused to do it. I just refused because I was a jerk. It wasn't any religious stand. I was just like, I just didn't want to do anything they wanted me to do. So that was one of them. So then I would get kicked out in the hallway. I spent a lot of time in the hallway. I like these hallways here. It's like I walk around some days and I go, hey, how come this feels so familiar? There's a big clock. Sometimes I just go and stand under it. Yeah, because I did that a lot. That was a lot of my education. But, you know, before we had issues in school like you shouldn't chew gum. Now we have issues that you shouldn't shoot people. You shouldn't bring your drugs to school. You shouldn't swear. You shouldn't punch somebody out. We have a different world that we live in, so we have a different worldview of what even Canada is. And then religion. Religion's a very interesting worldview. There's the church, and there's a whole bunch of different worldviews of the church religion. We can have Orthodox, and we can have Protestant, and we can have freedom, and we can have legalism, and we can have all these type of things. The world, who doesn't go to church, has a really interesting viewpoint. The first one is, they just want your money. They want your money. They want 10%. I used to go back, yeah, well, the government takes 33% and 35%. I mean, they give us roads and stuff, but it's this attitude where it has no effect. The worldview that the world has of the church. But here, in this body of believers, our biblical worldview is that God is alive and we have a relationship with him. That he's powerful and he cares for us, and one day we're going to go to be with him forever. They just sent off a rocket, did you see that? So that they can come up alongside a big meteorite, take a bunch of dirt from it, and find out where we originated from. It costs a lot of money. This is where it originated from. It says it in here. Not some dirt in a rock. Honestly, it's not. We originated because God pulled us out of the dirt. He made some mud people, and then he just made blue life into them. That's the truth. But the world says, no, no, no. We're going to find out. We're gonna have the big atom collider, and it's going to show us the black hole that's going to prove that we came from the Big Bang. It's not going to, because it says here in the beginning. That's the worldview we have. Our worldview is what we really believe. It's the set of lenses which we look through this world, Wrong worldviews will produce faulty explanations for the experience of life, just like a pair of glasses with the wrong prescription will produce perception problems. Anybody got bifocals or trifocals or quadfocals? And you go, wow, that's it. Like, or this is, you know, and it's like, you know, like you're going. Right? It's like if you got the wrong prescription, and if you have the digital ones, like I have the digital ones because I like the newest stuff, I'll be sitting and I'll see things go by. And I'm thinking, I don't like mice. And it looks like a mouse went by. Nothing went by. It just went by, though. And I look over here and it went by, and then I'm trying to see the TV and I got to go or like this. If you don't have the right prescription, if you don't have the right worldview, you're not going to see the things correctly. The right worldview comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ where he is the one that you see everything through. People may not always live what they profess, but they always live what they believe. You hear that? You can say one thing, but you actually believe one thing, you'll do that. And how practical is that? I remember being in a union where we were all voting for strike, or that's what they said. So our, you know, it was, okay, so we went in, and as soon as you went in, the guys that were coming out said, yeah, I voted to strike. And then you go in and make your own choice, right, in there? Hopefully. I came out, and I never said anything. After it tallied up, it was 70 or 95% for. So all these guys that came out and said they voted against were lying. So you can say one thing, but you can actually do the other. Here's three different common worldviews. Animistic, Western, and biblical. So here's a little picture. And it's pretty, actually, I wish I had my laser thing. I forgot to do that. But if you can see, it's like the animistic world means that everything's kind of blended together. And so the same spirit that is up in that creator God area is the same spirit that's in everything. It's in the trees. It's in the animals. They all have spirits that are equal with us. That's the animistic view. And so there's sacrifices given to inanimate objects. There's sacrifices given to, rivers and mountains and fields and all these type of things to appease the gods. The spirits there, and some of you know really what I'm talking about, not so much in North America before, but today it's becoming more prevalent. And then there's the shaman. If you can see, there's man and woman and all that stuff's coming down. And then there's one arrow that points up, and it's the shaman. And a shaman is the man who can, or woman who can connect in with that realm. Witch doctor, shaman, whatever. It's like the, I don't know much about electricity, but if an electrician comes by, they can help me understand it. And so we don't know much about the spiritual realm. So now we have a shaman or a witch doctor or someone who is connected in with that. That's the animist worldview. It's a folk-level set of religious beliefs. This is the belief that everything in the world, animal, vegetable, mineral, share the same kind of spiritual power. The belief also involves the thinking that there are spirits associated with all aspects of life here on the planet. Elaine and I were watching a documentary about the trains that run from Nepal into India, because that's the area we're going to go to. And they had a big celebration, and actually when we go, there's a tremendous big celebration of religious festivals that are going on, and it's kind of risky actually to go there at this time. But after they had this celebration, they sacrificed a goat to the train. because they believed that the train, an inanimate object, would be blessed with that death of that goat. That's their belief. And please, I'm not mocking that belief. That is actually what they believe. But it's wrong. Because God created us separate. He created, and we'll look at the biblical view, it is not this type of viewpoint. It's way different. And this viewpoint has no life in it. It has a lot of restriction. It has a lot of necessity to give offerings. And it's so different. These are spirits. These spirits are associated with natural objects, with people, and with dead ancestors. They may be good or evil in nature. And I remember seeing an article on Bali where, and most of the countries in that area, they always go and feed their gods. And so there's all sorts of little shrines that you can put food in. You have to actually put food in and milk and different things like that. We have old growth forests here where the trees are sacred because they have a spirit. They don't have a spirit. God created them. They don't have a spirit. And we have whales that are considered super spiritual. And they're not. They're a creation. God's creation. But people believe that and they worship these things. That's the worldview of the animist. And then there's the Western worldview, and that's our North American culture. And you see here that the Western worldview is the supernatural and the realm of religion, and there's a little line there, and then there's nothing in between, and then there's the natural and the realm of science. So everything that works down here works from science and natural. Mother Nature. Mother Nature caused this to happen. Mother Nature. We need to look after Mother Nature. This worldview of the typical Christian is this is the worldview of the typical Christian in the world, in the Western world. These are two distinct realms. The supernatural, where God resides, and any other spiritual beings. The natural, the created world, which operates according to the laws of nature, which God established. Not the way it's not science that operates this. And we're all aware of global warming, right? I'm not sure where I stand on global warming. I think we mess some stuff up. I don't think we've been good stewards of our world. But there's been glaciers melting for years and years and centuries, because I lived in some beautiful places that were carved out by glaciers. Osuyas being one of them. It's a desert now, but it was covered in glacial ice. And that glacial ice carved out the warmest lake in British Columbia and some beautiful areas. The only thing it should have carved out, the rattlesnakes that live there too, but it never. The natural realm is, and we ask these kind of questions, either or questions like, is it natural or supernatural? So we categorize, we compartmentalize. Is it religious or scientific? Is it spiritual or psychological? Is it sacred or is it secular? Is it demonic or is it just the flesh? All these are the questions we ask. When you are centered in Jesus Christ, there is no sacred and no secular. Everything you do is sacred. Because you have God everywhere you put your foot, the scripture says, it is the presence of God. And science is something that man has learned, and please, I understand that it's very important. I appreciate the science in psychology. I appreciate the science in medicine. I appreciate the science in all the different areas, all the different fields, all the different disciplines. But that wisdom came from God. They don't give him the credit, doesn't mean that it didn't come from God. It comes from God. Is it natural or supernatural? Barry said, beautiful BC, and we also call it supernatural BC. If you've stood in some of the places in this beautiful country, you know that nobody had their hand in that except Christ. Well, I've seen where man has had his hand in it and he stripped everything off and looked for the ore underneath, and that kind of made a mess. But the original is so beautiful. And is it demonic or is it just the flesh? So we have mental illness and we have demonic activity. We have people who are evil people, do evil things, but are not necessarily driven by demonic spirits. They're driven by some other things, but they do some evil things. And again, just watch the news and you'll find out. So there's a thing called, or a term called deism. And it identifies God in this way, placing God as creator, but assuming that he is now on his throne up in heaven, and that the world is being run by scientific laws which have no functional spiritual components, allowing for the odd miracle to happen, but only rarely. That's deism. So what he did is he created us, and then he just said, you're on your own. How do you do on your own? I don't do very good on my own. I need some input. I sure need a lot of input from God. I need a lot of input from you. I need a lot of input from my wife and from my kids. I need a lot of input. We cannot do this on our own, and he never created us to do this on our own. He created us to bless us here with everything and prepare us to go to where he has been working on the home that he's called us to be in when we are finished here. It is not a God sitting on a throne, especially for some of us, with a big stick. And you step out of line and he's gonna whack you hard. He's going to yell at you. He's so ashamed. He thinks you're a failure. That is wrong. That is not the truth. The truth is you are his kid. And he loves you. He actually loves you more than you love yourself. And he wants you to get to that place where you love yourself as much as he loves you, and you will stand in a different way. Your posture will change. Your posture in your body, your posture in your mind, and your posture in your spirit will change when you know that he is just not sitting up there without a care for us. So there's a biblical worldview. We've looked at the animist worldview, and we've looked at the Western worldview. So this is worldview part one, and you can see it's a little bit more complicated. The biblical worldview is the realm of God, and then there's the realm of angels, and then there's the realm of man. And so we're not used to even talking about the realm of angels. But you can see that they kind of minister to us. Do you know that? Do you have ministering angels? Scripture says it. God has always been there, and this was his plan. You've always been God, long before the birth of the mountains and even before you were created, you created the earth and world. And so there's another, that same picture. And it says, the realm of angels is everything was created by him, everything in heaven and on earth, everything seen and unseen, including all the forces and all the powers and all the rulers and all the authorities. All things were created by God's Son, and everything was made for him, including you. Then there's some fallen angels. I guess you were talking yesterday, and we're talking about metaphors in our class, and somebody says, you know, a metaphor would be like, you look like an angel. And so you have this picture of this. And I said, that's great, unless you don't ever tell somebody they look like a fallen angel. That's all. Okay? Because that's not the same kind of angel that you want to be connected with. So how do we get this fallen angel? When Satan, Lucifer, fell from heaven, he took one-third of the angels with him. So I want you to understand that simple math says if he took one-third, how many thirds are left with us? Two-thirds. Two-thirds is the majority. So are we victors? Are we more than conquerors? And it doesn't matter how deep you stack these demons up that one-third fell, they do not cast a shadow on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You need to remember that, because the devil will throw everything he can at you to have you believe that he has got more power. He doesn't have more power. So in Revelations 12, 3 and 4, it says, something else appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and a crown on each side of its 7 heads. And with its tail, it dragged a third of the stars from heaven and threw them down to earth. So let's back up a bit here. Or let's go ahead and then back up. Revelations 12, verse 10 and 11 says, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren and sisters, who accuses them before God, our God, day and night, has been hurled down. Hurled down. Didn't trip and fall in front of God. God hurled him down. Got him by the front of the shirt and yanked him down and said, you will submit. When he was on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And the devil lost. That's what this is saying. The devil lost. We are the victors. But he accuses before God each one of you day and night. Do you wonder why you have some tough nights and some tough days? The enemy's working against you. But they triumphed or overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you know how much power is in your testimony? There is power in the words that Jesus Christ came into my life and changed my life. 2 weeks ago, 2 people came to Christ in this church, 3 people. Last week, 1 lady came to Christ just at the end of the service. God is changing people's lives. The enemy is not going to win if you'll give him the freedom to come into your life. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. When Jesus sent out his disciples and they all gathered back and they said, oh, it was so cool. Like, there was healings and there was demons came out and wow, this was just like the best. That's what I tell people about Richmond Pentecostal. This is the best. Things are happening. Spiritual things are happening. People's lives are changing. People are getting healed. People are getting set free. People are getting saved. People, our lives are changing because of the spiritual things. So Jesus said this to his disciples that all came back, and they were pumped. He replied to them and said, I saw Satan fall from lightning, like lightning from heaven. You ever been out in one of those storms? Lightning's like that. Satan didn't hang on. He didn't have any grip. He couldn't stay. He was hurled out like lightning in a split second. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. That's it. Yeah, we love the power, but the reality is that we're our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are going. Hallelujah. I like having my tickets ahead of time. If I'm going somewhere, I have the ticket that says I'm going to be with him forever. And then Isaiah, where it all kind of starts, 14, 12, and 13 says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn, Lucifer. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly of the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will, I will, I will, I will. No, you won't. He will and always will sit on the throne, and no one will assert themselves over him. You need to know that. That's the right world. That's the right biblical worldview. So there's another picture of that, and then there's the human realm. That's kind of down in the bottom. Then our God, in Genesis 1:26 said, then our God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. How about that? You know, your kids or your sister or brother, they go, somebody says, you just look like, you know, I can see that resemblance. Hey, you're created in the image of God. You're created in the image of God, and people should see that in you, and you should be awestruck that God would let people see you reflect him. Let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea, and that doesn't always work for me when I'm fishing. Over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Why? Why do we have creeping things? I don't know. We have dominion over them. I would remove them all. Noah could it have, I'm going to talk to him. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, and he created them. So the biblical worldview here is a little bit more complicated. Part two, still those three realms, but you can see the communication between God and his believers, right? And so what we have is God's plan is there's angels to serve you. It says so in Hebrews 14. Are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? I told you some of my angel stories. Our kids saw angels. They're actually more open to that than we are sometimes because we get a little spooky, you know. It's like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You talk to an angel? You taking medication and you haven't taken it today? You heard a voice? What did the voice say to you? You know, that's the way we are. Sometimes you just go, I don't know. Hey, we have ministering. I have angels. They're probably not as keen on being my angels. They probably like somebody that wasn't as high risk. You know? I said, oh, no, Caruso again. Why do I get that shift all the time? You know, there he is doing something stupid, and I have to be there. He's a risk taker, and it's really hard on me. They're there for you. You have angels. Think about that. The enemy can't bully you around because your angels are way big. Okay? So when the enemy starts coming in and starts bullying you, just say, take them, boys. Take them. Take them down. Take them down. I always had big friends. I was a real mouthpiece. You probably never realize that, but when I was drinking and stuff, I was always like shooting my mouth off. But I always had big friends who backed me up. Remember one guy said to me when I was working on construction, Jim, you can say anything you want and I'll back you up. That is dangerous for a little mouthpiece. Because I'd make sure that Joe was standing behind me. He's a big Metis guy. And he was huge and tough. I could shoot my face off and nobody would challenge me. Then Joe moved away. And you just learn to shut up because you don't bruise as much then. But you have angels like that, and they'll protect you. The Holy Spirit brings truth and guidance. In John 16, it says in verse 12 to 14, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. We sang that today. Because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit will give you the words of Jesus and the Father. Isn't that awesome? That's the biblical worldview. So God's plan for the believer is resistance, and you could see that back there. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what you got to do. Just stand up and say, I don't receive this. I don't want you in my life. Get out of my face. And if you want to do it, Get out of my faceth, if you want King James. Getteth out of thy faitheth. But just tell him to hit the road. Hit the road, because he doesn't have a right to speak into your life to torment you. He doesn't have a right. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Isn't that awesome? And then authority. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, like who wants to, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have that authority. And that picture shows that the enemy has a plan as well. And that's temptation. Please understand one thing. Temptation is not sin. Do you understand that? Jesus was tempted, and yet he sinned not. He was without sin, it says in Corinthians. You will be tempted. As long as you're in this world, you'll be tempted. But you don't have to give in. When you give in, that's sin. And you know what he's going to tempt you with? Stuff you like. Go figure. If you like some things, if you like alcohol, and if you like smoking, if you like pornography, if you like gambling and stuff like that, man, you're going to have opportunities. You're going to win, even though maybe you even didn't buy a ticket, or you did buy one of those tickets, you know, and nobody's supposed to know. And you'll win a trip to Las Vegas. What do you do in Las Vegas? Whatever you do in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. Well, you know what? It doesn't. Let me tell you something. Anything hidden will be revealed. That's what the Word of God says. So you go to Las Vegas and you think you're hiding out. You're not. Your life's going to be messed because you're yielding to the temptation. Is that hard not to? Yeah, it's hard not to, because it's stuff you like. But remember this, is that's what Satan has for you, and God has freedom for you. And then there's this attack and deceit. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the lion, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. Lane and I were in Salmon Arm, and we were going up to my sister's place, and this big black bear in a subdivision runs out in front of us, probably 150-pound, 200-pound bear. They look out of place in a subdivision. And they could do real mess on you if you were just riding your bike or something. You have to understand that he's around. And he hasn't got, I heard of one preacher, well, you know, that scripture says that, but he's got rubber teeth. Oh, man. Not with the scars that I've seen on people. Those are not rubber teeth. He's not got rubber teeth, and he's horribly out there to destroy and rip and tear. The lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan's plan that's for the believer. Well, lucky you. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is his plan, Satan's. So that the great dragon was cast out, that's the old serpent of the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, is cast to the earth, where his angels were cast with him. He's the deceiver. And he wants to deceive you. He wants to tell you that what we're talking about here doesn't have any effect on you. It's not true. Then he wants control. 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And people ask that all the time. If there's a God, why do these things happen? God, God gives us free will. And we have lots of religions that are built on free will. We have lots of religions that are built on control. We have people who will do evil things because Satan will enter into them, or one of his demonic entities, one of his demons will enter into that person, and they'll do horrible things. And then you remember, maybe sometimes a testimony is, well, God, you know, God told me to kill that person. No, he never. He called you to love that person, so that's a contradiction to this. So that's what Satan wants for you. But God's got a plan for you in the midst of all of this, and this is what it is. And I'll let the team come up as I read this. Paul writes this, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We need to renounce the secret things, people. We need to break the vows that we have made with the enemy. I remember an adult coming to me and said when he was 5 years old, he saw a snake rise up and talk to him. Of course, he would never tell anybody that. But he saw a snake rise up and he made a deal with that snake, and it tormented him to the day that he came into my office and we dealt with that in the name of Jesus Christ. He was set free. There's some things that have happened in your life. There's some things that you grew up in. There's some terrors that you've experienced. There's some stuff in your life. There's some fears that have just kind of overwhelmed you. Those are not from God. He is the Prince of Peace. And this morning, I thought about this. There's things that we worship. There's things that have taken the place of Christ. There's things that have come in because of our worldview that need to be renounced, that need to be laid down, that need to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. It could be anything. It could be do with your family and maybe even the traditions that your family had. And maybe there's things that you saw or things that you heard or things that have tormented you for all this time. Today is the day to lay that all down and walk out of here free. I'm talking to you right now into your heart. I hope that the Holy Spirit wants you to leave this room free. I can't do it. All I can do is tell you who can do it. The Holy Spirit that lives in you. Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You need to hear Him say that He will forgive your sins. And that you have a plan, or He has a plan for you as a believer. And the enemy can't, as 1 John says, cannot touch you. Another translation says, cannot harm you. Wouldn't it be nice if you just went right through, once you accepted Jesus, and just went right through the rest of your life without any battles? Hallelujah. I tell you, you're probably going to lose a few teeth. You might get your arm twisted out of its socket. You might get kicked in the ribs. This is the exciting stuff. The enemy might even draw a little blood, but you're not going to die. You're going to live because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and you are going to stand firm. And when they come at you, you got all the weaponry you need in the world. You got all the armor that you need in the world. You can stand. You can stand because Jesus Christ said, whatever you've done to fight this spiritual realm, whenever you've done everything you can do to stand, then stand. This morning, I'm going to encourage you to stand and let Satan have no more control over your life. I want you to raise up and just stand up if you would. We're going to worship for a few minutes and we're going to have the prayer teams come up here. We're going to anoint you with oil and we're going to believe that God is going to set you free. You're going to lay some stuff down here. You're going to walk out of here saying, that does not belong to me any longer. And I'm free in Jesus' name.